Right, so we were still in the middle of the sugya. So what I want to do tonight is finish the sugya of asking the kid, of asking the child to read the letter in the Torah, and also do a little bit on the Agadata Gemara, fascinating Agadata Gemara. So a couple of important comments of the Achronim that I wanted to discuss on the Agadata Gemara. But Bli Neder, we'll get to both tonight. I want to start the Shatnez Gatz sugya tomorrow, which is the little crowns on tops of the letters and how they place the three crowns and what the point of it is and all of that stuff. So as we said last week, the Gemara had told us on Chavtes Amid Beis at the top that Rami Bar Tamri Dehu Chamuad Rami Bar Dikuli had a situation with a Vav in the Sefer Torah where it says Vayarog, and the Vav was cut off. It had a hole in it. The Vav had a hole in it. So they came to Rabbi Zeira and he said, bring me a kid who's not too smart and not too stupid, and if he reads it Vayarog, it's kosher. If he reads it, if he doesn't, Yehoreghu upasul, then kill the child, then it will be pasul. But it's just a play on words. It's not, it doesn't really mean kill the child. Just Yehoreghu, it should be read instead Yehoreg, and it is pasul. So we discussed last week a little bit, a lot actually, about what situations call for asking a child and what situations call for checking if there's still a tzura sa'os. Because the previous Gemara, the previous story in the Gemara, had told us about a case where if sikalei Kara Dehei, where there was the Ha'am B'Nikva, the word Ha'am, the Hey, had a hole in it, and they came to Rabbi Abba and he said, look, if there's still enough left that looks like a small letter, like an Os Katana, the size of a small letter, then it's kosher. Otherwise it's possible. He didn't say anything about bringing a kid. So when do you bring a kid, when do you not bring a kid? So we had three shitos in Rishonim about when you do bring a kid, when you don't bring a kid. We're not going to go through all those three shitos again. The question that the Taz deals with, and that the Rashash has a very interesting diuk in Rashi that in a million years I probably wouldn't have noticed, is what about, and I think we closed with this last time, is what about if you have, let's say, the Vav, not only does it have a hole in it where it cuts the Vav short, but let's say it has a hole, right? Oh, we still have him on the board. Let's say it has a hole, like, right in the middle of the Vav. So the Vav actually continues. Like, the hole is, let's say, right over here. So that part is missing. So now the kid looks at that, and if he just puts two and two together, he just puts the bottom, in his mind's eye, he can put the bottom and top together and obviously see that it's a Vav. But if you show him like this, he'll see a Yud, because if he doesn't see the bottom of the leg, it will look like a Yud. So is that, can you show that to a kid also? Is that also good enough? Or is it only when the bottom is cut off that you show to a kid and see if the kid thinks that it has the length to make a Vav? But if it's broken in the middle, maybe that's not the same, maybe that's not good enough. So the Taz, which is Maramakov number 19 in Simon Lamed Beis in Or HaChaim, in Sif Katan Yud, the Taz writes, Im Nishtayer Gam Lamata Min HaHefzik, at the end of the second line over there, Im Nishtayer Gam Lamata Min HaHefzik, Dahainu, Shnas HaHefzik Berachvo Shal Regel, Ha'os, Va'achar HaHefzik Nishar Ol Lamata Chelik Min HaRegel, across the width of the leg of the letter, there's a break, and then the letter continues beneath the break, like you have over there. So, Bezel Lo Moel Tinok, that a kid can't help you with. Because if you show that to a kid, the kid is going to put in, like I said before, in his mind's eye, he's going to put together the bottom and the top. But the halacha is that there's no tziruf, that you can't combine them. That only if the top part alone looks like a vav, it's kosher. If the top part alone doesn't look like a vav, it's not going to be kosher. So if the tinok sees that, of course he's going to say it's a vav, because he sees that there's a bottom part, but he's not supposed to take that into account. He's not supposed to be looking at that bottom part, because it has no, you can't be mitzarifit with the top part. You can't combine it with the top part. So he says, so what do you do? How do you show this to a tinok? So very simple. What do? You cover the bottom part, and you let him look at it that way. You cover the bottom half and say, what's this? Is this a Vav or a Yud? And if he says Yud, so then it's no, you don't have to say it that way. You say, what letter is this? You don't give him choices. What letter is this? And if he says it's a Yud, then it's no good. Or if he doesn't say it's a Vav, it's no good. Derech Agav, just parenthetically, the Taz also mentions a very interesting shita of his father-in-law. Taz, if you're not familiar with the work of the Taz on the Shulchan Aruch, Taz always quotes, almost all the time, he quotes the Bach. the Bach was his father-in-law, and almost always disagrees with the Bach. He quotes the Bach, and they must have had a good relationship, but, you know, not good enough that he didn't want to disagree with him at every single opportunity. So the Taz quotes the Bach, and he disagrees with the Bach. Rabbi Bolzman tells a story, I don't know where he got the story from, but he tells the story how the Taz, after the Taz's wife died, the Taz gave a hesped that apparently was such a knockout hesped, it was such an unbelievable hesped, that the Bach got upset at him, because he thought he was preparing it before, you know, like in between the death and the funeral, he couldn't have possibly had enough time to prepare such a knockout hesped. I don't know. Okay, anyway, but I don't know where the story's from. It's a little disturbing, but okay. So the... So he quotes from the Bach. He says, "Re'isi l'mori chamizal shekasav lo machshirinon al yidei tinok elim kain shenichta mitchila kiluchaso haos va'achar kach nifsal." Very interesting. He says that a tinok telling you what the letter is only works if the letter was once perfect, and then something happened to it. But let's say the letter meyikara, when it was originally written, just wasn't written to the full length. So you bring a kid to look at it, and the kid says, "Ah, it looks like a vav to me. It's fine." So, is that okay? So says the Bach, no. If it's not perfect originally, then the Tino can't help you. It has to have once been perfect, and then gotten ruined, and then the Tino can help you. So the Taz says, what's he talking about? Tumum Devarav. Why should there be any such distinction? Let's say you're writing tefillin. By Sefer Torah, you can always correct things. But the halacha by tefillin is you have to write it in order. So if you made a mistake early on in the parshiyos of the tefillin, and then you keep on going and writing, and then you discover, I didn't make the vav long enough, so you can't just correct it. So you need to know, are these tefillin kasher or pasul? Is that vav a vav or is it a yud? So of course you show a tinok, you show a child. Because it wasn't perfect at the beginning, it's not going to have a din of a vav. Where does a Bach pull such a thing? That it should make a difference whether it once had a perfect tzuras ha'os? No, isn't the whole point of the child to determine what the tzuras ha'os in fact is? And the child tells you it's a vav, that's it. So why is it that it had to have once been perfect? So, just misvara, you do have such an idea in halacha. I was thinking that the Bach isn't so out of left field in terms of halacha. There's something called dichoy meikara and nira v'nidche. Sometimes you have something that was never good, and sometimes you have something that was once good and then lost its kashrus. It could be that in order for something that was once good to lose its kashrus, it needs a bigger push in the direction of psul than something that was never good. Meaning, if something never had a cheskas kashrus to begin with, so if you don't have the chazaka meikara, that original cheskas kashrus, that it was good, so then it's very easy to knock it off and make it psul. So it could be the Bach is saying, look, this never had a cheskas kashrus; it was never known to be good, and therefore we're not going to rely on a tinok to make it good. It never had a cheskas kashrus. The fact that it's a shaila is enough to knock it off. Whereas when you had something that was already nichtav kilch, so it was written correctly, so the tefillin, the sefer Torah, whatever it was, already had a cheskas kashrus, so on a suffix you're not going to knock off the cheskas kashrus. The question is, what was it muchzak? If you have a blank piece of cloth, is it muchzak to be kashrut tefillin? Of course not. It's nothing. There's nothing on it. So if you have something that you never knew for sure was ever kashrut tefillin, so you're going to, when you have a suffix, you don't go to the child. You have a suffix. You say the chazaka is that it's no good because we never had a chazaka that it was good. So the chazaka is that it's a blank piece of cloth. It was no good, and therefore it's going to be pasul. But when you have something that has a cheskas kashrus, so you take the cheskas kashrus, you combine it with the child telling you what the letter is. So that takes that means that it's at least a suffix that it's not going to be b'cheskas psul. So that will allow the cheskas kashrus to take effect. So I thought maybe that's a little bit of the svara of the Bach. Yeah.
So is that like fundamentally how they're arguing what the function of the tinuk is?
I think so.
The Bach is saying that it's just a reaffirmation of what we already know, as opposed to...
Not a reaffirmation of what we already know. I would say that the Bach is saying that the tinok is there to at least make it a suffix. We know there's something wrong with this letter. The tinok is there to at least make it a suffix. And if he says that the taka is something wrong, then it's a vaday wrong. But if he says, it's a vav, so that at least makes it a suffix. And if it's a suffix, you rely on the chazaka. Whereas the Taz will say, no, the tinok is there to be mevarad the tzura saos. If he explains to us if he tells us that this is a vav, that's a vav. The Bach might say, a tinok? You're going to trust the tinok, and what's a kasher vav? What's not a kasher vav? Why would you trust the kid in halacha? All of a sudden, you're going to trust a kid in something like that. So the bach would fit very nicely. Yeah, at least the kid is enough to make it a safek, whether it's a tzura saos or not. So I thought maybe that might be a little bit what's behind it. There are probably other ways you could say the lamdas of the machlokas. You know, going back to whether it's a din in the ksiva or a din in the cheftza kind of thing, where the Bach says that the din of trusting a tinok is a din in the cheftza of the Sefer Torah, but it's not a din in the but the ksiva still has to be done kahogan. It would still be a psul in the ksiva Sefer Torah. When you write a Sefer Torah, you have to write a Sefer Torah properly. If you wrote a Sefer Torah improperly, even the slightest mistake would be enough to pass the Sefer Torah in the Ksiva Sefer Torah. But if the Ksiva was done correctly, and you just want to know, is it a Cheftza Shel Torah? Does it retain Kedusha Sefer Torah? So then maybe even a smaller mistake, then maybe a smaller mistake won't ruin the Kedusha Sefer Torah. It would have to be a bigger mistake to ruin the Cheftza, the Cheftza of the Kedusha Sefer Torah. So that maybe you could say it like that. Okay, different possibility, just thinking out loud. Yeah. The Taz would say that the din in Ksiva and din in the Cheftza are the same. That it's all din in the Kashrus of the Sefer Torah. Meaning it's all Tali and the Tzura Sa'os. Taz is really the more Pashut one. That of course, you know, is it a Vav? If it looks like a Vav, it's a Vav. It's all Tali and whether what the Tzura Sa'os is. What needs Biur is the Bach. So I'm suggesting that maybe the Bach would make such a chilek between the Ksiva versus the Cheftza, or make a chilek about being Muchsak as Kedusha Sefer Torah. Yeah.
So what would we say why the Tinuk would be believed here?
If what? According to the din in the ksiva, din in the...
Let's say like the taz, that it uses mevar, the os, why is it...
Yeah, so you say all the tinok does is he's masiach lefitumo, he's unbiased eyes. We'll discuss in a second, an adult by definition is biased. So because he knows what he's supposed to be expecting. The tinok is just, you get a pair of unbiased eyes on it. Child doesn't know enough to lie. So it's not being mevarer a halacha for us. You're not going to trust a tinok in a halacha. It's not ne'amanus or edus or anything like that you're trusting him. He's just telling you what it looks like to him. And if it looks like that to him, then that's probably what it looks like. Then that's probably what it is. So it's not that he's it's not ne'amanus of a tinok. I mean, ne'amanus of a tinok is a child says, "I saw Reuven kill Shimon." Shkayach, you can see Reuven kill Shimon as many times as you want. We're not going to listen to you. You're just a kid. But over here, he's telling you what it looks like. It's not ne'amanus. I don't think it's a din ne'amanus over here. I think the Taz is the more Pashut way. I mean, we hold like the Taz. The Halacha, we wouldn't say this Chumra the Bach, I don't think. That if the Os was never written 100% correctly, not to rely on the Tinok. I think we do rely on the Tinok in that situation. The Rashash has an unbelievable diuk. Again, going back to the first part of the Taz, where it's broken in the middle, right? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi on the top of Chavtes and Beis. Vav d'v'yaharog, v'yarog. The Vav of a Yarog is Naktov. Where's that vav of Vayarog? Vayarog kol b'char, Rashi says. Ira b'makom nekev. It happens on a place where there is a hole, v'nira k'min yud. And therefore, it looks like a yud instead of looking like a vav. Now, what came first, the hole or the letter, according to Rashi?
Sounds like the hole
came first, right? Because the letter is happening in a place where there's a hole. Sounds like the hole came first. Why does it have to be that way? Can it be that the letter came first and then the hole came? So says the Rashash, and by the way, by Yevsikale Kara Dehei, what does Rashi say? It's tefillin. He doesn't give you a whole story that there was Yevsikale Kara Dehei and the hole was there already, and then there was a hole on the hay. He doesn't give you the whole story about how the hole must have been there first. So says Rashash, why when it comes to the tefillin, the hay of Ha'am in tefillin, it doesn't say that Rashi doesn't tell you that the hole was there first. Yet when it comes to the vav, the hole in the vav by the Sefer Torah, whatever it was, so over there we say that the hole did come first. So why the difference? So Rashash, back of the Gemara, it's also in the Maram Kamos, but I typed it up in the Maram Kamos, so it probably has 1,000 typos. So in the in the Rashash, he writes, Midelo Pirish came behei. The fact that Rashi doesn't say that the hole was there first by the hay, nearly the sphere like how the pasuk of Shulchan Aruch Simlam Beisiv Tazayin, Tikshenichtav Bekashrus Va'acharkach Nifsak Benekev, Avgav Sha'ate Inumukav Gvil Kasher, that the Rashi must be holding that if it was written properly once, and then the hole came, it would be kosher. Rashi is saying it has to be that the hole is there first in order for it to be a problem. But if the hole was there, if it was written properly, and then the hole came in, so that would be kosher. V'chein mevur li mimasha pirish la'el divur maschal she'en gvil mukafla. And he says, unbelievable diyuk. Listen to this diyuk. Look at Rashi, chavtes amad aleph. So what does it say? If you have letters, chavtes amad aleph, four lines on the bottom. If you have letters, she'en gvul mukafla, that's not surrounded by parchment. So what does Rashi say? What does it mean? It's not surrounded by parchment. Shemudbekes ba'os acheres. Letters that aren't surrounded by parchment, how are they not surrounded by parchment? They're attached to another letter. One letter is attached to another letter. V'hainu dekatani. And that's what we mean when we say ksav echod ma'akvan. Kolomar, hilchos mishpat os achas ma'akvo l'mezuzah tefillin. Rashi says, what do you see? If two letters are connected to each other, that's what we say, that one messed up letter ruins your entire tefillin. Frek the Rashash. If two letters are connected to each other, that's not one messed up letter, that's two messed up letters. How does Rashi not know how to count that? Two letters are connected to each other, you messed up both letters, not just one. Says the Rashash. No, say it.
That's why the hole had to be there first.
Ah. So says Rashash, if you wrote the first one Bekashrus, if the first one was there perfectly good when and then it got messed up later on, so that's not a psul in the first one. If it was written perfectly good, it's fine. That wouldn't be a psul in the first one. So when you have two letters that are connected to each other, one of them was there first. The one that was there first is kosher. Because at the time that you wrote it, it was good. Then afterwards you wrote another letter and you accidentally connected it to the first one. That created the psul. In what? Not in the first letter. First letter was written by Kashrus. It created a psul in the second letter. He says, both letters are bad. But based on what I'm telling you, it's good. And that's why, one second, let's just finish the thought. And that's why in the situation of the hay, the afton is shtayer lemalim in anekev kashiros katana mikol makom arisham b'makom anekev eino mukaf gvil. Even if it still has the size of an os katana, wherever the hole is, if you look at the hay on the board we have over there, where the bottom of the right leg is cut off. So even if it's still big enough to have the basic tzura of a hay, but nevertheless, it's not mukaf gvil because it's got a hole in the klaf over there. So it's not surrounded by klaf. And therefore, if you had that originally, it would automatically be possible because it wasn't written bekashrus. It has to be that the whole came afterwards. As opposed to by the vav, where, now this is the key point, this is what I wanted to get to. What's the difference between the hay and the vav? In both cases, look, if this is a hole, meaning literally a hole in the cloth, air, right? And this is air, a hole in the cloth. So what's he saying? Over here, this is not mukaf gevil, because mukaf gevil means it has to be surrounded by parchment. The guys weren't here last week. It has to be surrounded by parchment on along the entire perimeter of the letter. Well, it's not, because over here is not parchment, it's air, right? Because there's a hole in it. So that's a problem. But over here, it is mukaf gevil. It's not a problem. Why? Why over here is this not a problem of mukaf gevil? Isn't this a hole? Isn't this airspace? So says Rashash, no, because this and this are supposed to be connected to each other. Here's not underneath the letter, the perimeter of the letter. Here's underneath the perimeter of the letter. Because the letter continues. So it is mukaf gevil. It is mukaf gevil around the whole thing. And he says, I am telling you that when you look at this letter, you show it to a tinok, and the tinok is allowed to see the whole thing, and this is one letter, and he's allowed to say, that looks like a vav, even though he's filling in with his own imagination, he's filling in that part. That's good enough. Essentially, what the Rashash says, I'm telling you, the Taz is wrong. And Rashi holds the Taz is wrong. That's why Rashi's mechalik between the vav and the hay. In order for Rashi to say that you asked the tinok over here, he said, yeah, the hole could have been there before, that's fine. Why could the hole have been there before? Because it's not a problem of mukaf gevil when the hole was there before. Because the letter continues. But over here, if the hole was here before, it would be a problem of mukaf gevil, because that's the very end of the letter. It doesn't continue.
So that would be a problem of Mukaf Kavil. That's why Rashi says, Dafka, by when it comes to the Vav, that the hole is there before. When it comes to the Hay, he doesn't say that. Unbelievable Diyuk in Rashi. I don't know how he knows that the Gemara is talking about this case, when he says, Ifska Kara the Hay. Right? Maybe he's talking about this case, where the whole thing is gone. But he seems to be assuming that that's not so. That it's talking about where there's a hole right in the middle of the not karde, karde vav, where there's a hole right in the middle of the vav. In fact, Rashi sounds like it's the hole is all the way at the bottom. He just says v'nira k'min yud. Yeah, I don't know, but that's what he seems to be assuming. Yeah.
So according to that, Rashi would hold that if you have two letters that are touching, but they both have holes previously, they would both be fine.
Two letters that are touching.
They both have holes.
Smack in the middle of the letter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even though they're touching.
Not they would both be fine. No, the second one's no good.
Why?
Because it's touching.
The hole there. Like,
where? Where did it have the hole?
In the middle of the letter.
So it's not touching.
No, why? If you have two vows next to each other.
Yeah.
Then the top part of one vow is touching the top part of another vow.
So that would be possible.
But you have the hole in both of them.
Yeah, the hole that is in the machshir, it's just that it's not going to be a problem mukaf kavil on that spot, but it doesn't like go back and make everything else kasher. So I thought that was an unbelievable rashash, just the diuk of Rashi, how he read three Rashis there, two that exist and one that doesn't. Meaning part of the diuk is what Rashi didn't say on the hay and the Rashi and the Amaral that it only messes up one letter. What a moradik rashash. Okay, one other just quick lumdus that I wanted to share with you. I saw a quote in one of the Achronish Dafyomi Chitzvarim from Rav Aaron Cutler in Mishnas Rav Yaron, which I don't have, and I forgot to go in Hebrew books to check it out, see it inside. But either way, I think the lumdus makes sense. Is he says, what's this din of having a child read it? What is the child showing you when the child says, yeah, that's a vav? What is that clarifying for you? So he says two possibilities. Either it's an issue of tsura sa'os, and the child is able to say, yeah, that is a vav. I can determine that has the tsura, that has the shape of a vav. And that's good enough. He's able to, when there's a hole in it, when there's a break in it, it may not look like a vav, the child tells you it does look like a vav, it's a vav. Or it's not a din in the tsura sa'os, it's a din that when you write a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah has to be written in such a way that it could be read, that it's readable. Sounds the same. It'll come clearer when I say the nafkamina. Let me just say it both sides again. Either it's a din in the tsura sa'os, that the letter is supposed to look a certain way and the child determines that it looks this way, or no. The tsura sa'os may be totally messed up. It may not be the tsura sa'os at all. But if it's readable, that's good enough. The child doesn't determine the tsura sa'os, he just determines that it's readable. That it's something that can be, it's legible. Something that can be read, and as long as it's something that can be read, so it's a din in the kriya. If the child can't read it, it shows you that it's a chisaron in the ability to read it. So the main nafkamina. So there are certain letters that are made up of other letters. I guess I'll bring this with me. There are certain letters that are made up of other letters. Like, for instance, a shin. How does a shin look in the... We need eight time. But... That's roughly a shin, right? But the if you look in your tefillin, I mean, I don't recommend trying it. Don't open it up. But the left leg of the shin, it's something like this, by the way. Right? It doesn't. The left leg of the shin either has a vav off the end of it or a zayin, depending which ksav you have. It's really, they take a vav or a zayin and they stick it onto the shin. And they stick it onto the two-pronged shin to make the third prong. That's how a shin is made. An ayin also. Yeah, there's the ayin, and then they either, depending on which ksav you have, either put a vav or a zayin on it. If you have ksav beis yosef, they put a zayin on it. If you have the ksav ari, they put a vav on it. If you're a normal Ashkenazi person who's not a chassid, you should probably have ksav beis yosef, but since most sofrim are chassidim, a lot of times a lot of regular literature people end up with ksav ari. Svardim have a totally different ksav. It's called ksav velish. It's a totally, totally different ksav. But either way, the point is that that's supposed to be either a vav or a zayin. Now, let's say this is messed up in some way. The vav or the zayin that's attached onto the left leg of the ayin or it's attached onto the left leg of the shin is messed up in some way. So now, I can't read it as a vav or a zayin. It would look like a yud to me, you know, because the whole leg is cut off. It would look like a yud if I was only looking at that letter. But seeing it latching on to the rest of the
ayin or the rest of the shin makes it obvious that it's an ayin or a shin. So if it's a din, if it's a psul and tsura sa'os, right, that the child has to determine for me that that is the tsura of the letter. So, well, the child will tell me this does not have the tsura of the letter because that looks like a yud. It doesn't look like a vav. But if it's not a din in the tsura sa'os, it's a din in, is it readable? Can you read this Sefer Torah as is? I would say, yeah, that's an ayin. Because in context, you can obviously see that it's part of an ayin. So that's Ravan Kotler's Chakira. Is the child determining for us the Tzura Sa'os, or is he determining for us whether it's readable? Nafkamina would be if you have another letter sticking on, you know, that's part of a larger letter, that becomes illegible. If it's didn't Tzura Sa'os, the child may say it doesn't have a Tzura of a Vav, it looks like a Yud that's attached onto it. But if you ask him what the letter is in its entirety, he would tell you it's a Shin, it's an Ayin, he would tell you what the letter actually is. That's Ravaran Cutler's Chakira. Okay, one more point before we get to the Agadita, and that is the discussion about why the kid can't be too smart or too stupid. We have to have a kid who's just the right level of intelligence. Why can't he be too smart? So Rashi says, we don't want him to be too smart. The chachim mevin shemecharif hu lomar yehareg klape mala vayomer vayarog. What's the actual words of the pasuk? Vayarog Hashem? Does it quote the pasuk here? Vayarog Hashem? Something like that? I would imagine. Vayarog Hashem. Hashem killed all the Becharos of Mitzrayim. Right? I think that's the context.
Yeah?
Vayarog Hashem. So, think about it. If it doesn't have a Vav, so what's it saying? Yehareg Hashem. Hashem got killed. That would be very, very bad to say. That would not be written in your Torah. Not in our version of the Torah. So, if the kid was too smart, he would realize, wait a second, we believe in God. Right, this can't possibly be Yehareg Hashem. That can't be the word. It's got to be Vayarog Hashem. So he'll know if he's too smart, if he's too clever, he'll know from context how to that what it's supposed to be. So we don't want him to be that clever. We don't want him to be too stupid either, because if he's too stupid, he's not even going to know what a letter looks like. You know, you show him the letters. If he's illiterate, Ein Yodea Likros Ela Os Shlema. Meaning, even if he just learned the Aleph Beis, when a child first learns the Aleph Beis, you change one tiny little thing about the letter and he doesn't recognize it anymore, because he only knows it the way he originally learned it. So you need him past the just stage, where he's seen a couple of different fonts at least, and then, but not yet at the stage where he actually gets it, where he's able to understand it from context. So this is a question. What if he can read a letter very well? He reads letters very well, but he can't put together the letter as a word. Is that smart enough? Is that a kid who's smart enough to check? Does he have to know how to read? Does if he sees the word Vayarog, will he say Vav Yud Hey Reish Gimel, or will he say Vayarog? Which kid do you need? Do you need the kid who's smart enough to read a whole word, or a kid who's only smart enough to read the letter? So Beis Yosef quotes two deis about this. Beis Yosef quotes two deis whether you need him to read the whole word or just the letter. Now, why would you need him to read the whole word? We're just trying to figure out what the tzura of the letter is. I mean, I understand the sheet that says he just needs to know how to read a letter. Good, because that's what we're using him for, to read a letter. Why would you hold, this is Beis Yosef in source number 22, says this at the end of that Beis Yosef in Ebn Ezer. He writes, B'sefer agud akas of tino ke yodeh ha'osios. Ve'in yodei at siruf hatevos v'atos perak hamugareish kasu yodei likros osateva. And he knows how to read that word. So the first day it says he knows how to read a letter, each letter. Second one is he knows how to read the whole word.
What's the Sefer
Aguda? It's one of the Rishonim. So it's one of those Rishonim that you only see quoted in the Beis Yosef. Like you rarely see it quoted anywhere else. You know. So why would you say that he has to know how to read the whole word? I would say knowing how to read a letter makes plenty of sense to me. Elamai, it could be that if the geder is, as Rashi says, that we don't want a kid, look how Rashi said we don't want him too stupid. I would have said too stupid means he doesn't know how to read letters yet. That's too stupid. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says he knows how to read letters, but only when they're complete, which means he doesn't have the das to make any sort of connections in his own mind. His own imagination isn't going to fill anything in. Won't fill in any of the blanks. which means he lacks that skill. He lacks that ability to look, to see more than is actually there, which means he lacks the ability to read the whole word also. I mean, the two probably come around the same time. The ability to realize that the letters are associated with each other and they're not just a series of single letters, and the ability to realize when a letter is broken, that it's a broken letter and not just something I don't recognize, they probably come around the same time. Rashi sounds like that second day. Rashi doesn't say he's too stupid, he doesn't know what a letter looks like. Rashi says he knows what a letter looks like. He doesn't know what a broken letter, he's not going to be able to realize that a broken letter is still a letter. That's the problem. That might come at around the same time that a child is not able to put a word together, doesn't realize that there's a connection between the different letters. That is the 2 days in Beis Yosef. Now, Frecht, the Tshuvas Darchei Noam. I put a little biography there from the Bar Ilan Sidi of the Tshuvas Darchei Noam. 17th century rabbi. Tshuvas Darchei Noam asks, wait a second, what's the whole point according to the Beis Yosef? If you don't want the kid, why do we call a kid? Why not ask an adult? Adults know how to read too. So you want to know what the letter is? Bring an adult who didn't prepare the Kriyas HaTorah. He doesn't know what it's supposed to say. He doesn't have a Chumash in front of him. Call him in from a different minyan or something. What's that letter? Just ask an adult. So the Beis Yosef says, no, you can't ask an adult because the adult will figure it out from context. The adult is the Chacham. He'll be able to realize, Hashem doesn't get killed. Yahareg, no, Yahareg Hashem, that can't be right. He's going to figure it out from context. Ask the Darchei Noam. Figure out from context, I have an idea. Ask the adult and cover up the other letters so he won't see the context. Why dafka this insistence on a kid? What do you get with the kid that you don't get with the adult? Just have an adult and don't show him the other letters. So Darchei Noam says very, very poshut, really. He says, because if you show someone a letter that has a top to it and then a leg, and you don't show him any of the other surrounding letters, so he has no idea what size the letter is supposed to be. Meaning, let's take this one. Is this a vav or a yud? So you say it's a vav, because you're thinking that if I wrote a beis, it would be like that. But what if my beis was like that? Then now that's a yud. If you don't see the surrounding letters, you have no idea to gauge, based on size, what it's supposed to be. So you need someone who's able to see, in context, the surrounding letters, in order to make a judgment whether it's a vav or a yud. Says the Darchei Noam, that's great if you're dealing with a Vav, a Yud, a Zayin, something like that. What if you're dealing with a Shin? There's no other letter it could be. You don't need to see the size of other letters to figure out if it's a Shin. Okay, maybe it's a low plug. That we always call a kid. So it's a low plug. Hard to say that. It's a little bit of a dachuk answer. So he says, Odef Shalom Tamacher, that if you cover up the other letters and he only sees that letter, it could be that it's too constricting. I don't know what he means by this exactly. But he says it could be the reason why we can't show someone the letters covered up is because you're not able to really see it well. It's too constricting when it's blocked off all around it. I have no idea what that means. I can't even touch the words. I'm just telling you what he says. What do you mean? If the letter is open, you know, covering the letter, so what do you mean it's too constricting? Get over it. Look at that. I would say the opposite. I would say you're able to really focus on it. Hey, what do you see better? If I was to show you, let's go with my name. Right, that's a bunch of letters. Well, that's a little too long. That's an A. That's possible. But if I were to show you this, so now you see it. Now you're really able to focus on the letter. This is just a jumble of letters the way it is now. I don't think it's better. He's able to focus better on the letter. Very shvera vart, but it's a great kasha. Why you wouldn't just cover the letters and show it to an adult? Pashtus is the first way, he said.
What about a stupid adult?
a stupid adult is probably the same as a stupid kid. I guess they're assuming the adult would figure it out. I mean, they're assuming that, stupid adult is probably the same as a stupid kid. Okay, I just want to make sure I get to the Agadita, so I'm going to skip around a little bit. Yeah?
Maybe you could say that the reason why they don't want to, it's too constricting, but in order to really have it just on that letter, you would have to cover every other part of the Torah that has words on it, because he'd be able to, let's say you're covering...
No, if he doesn't line, see the few psukim around it, he's not going to figure out based on context.
No, but the whole point is that based on how the letter books in other places.
That's okay. We want him to be able to do that. Because that's just based on size.
Yeah, but you want him to be able to...
We just don't want him to be able to say, it can't be that Hashem gets killed at the end of this book.
No, but if you're saying, if you have, let's say you have two columns that are open, because it's going to be kind of hard to have one or just constantly there. Then he's going to look at the other column. He's going to see what's going on there. He's going to know what's going on. He'll see the size of the letters.
But I think we want him to see that. That's the thing. I think that's why we want the kid to see that. We want him to see the size of the letters. That happens by itself. Your eyes just adjust to that. You don't have to be smart for that. That's just like you see the size of the letters. Yeah.
Just, do we have like a hagdara of how old this kid is?
So this is the 2 days in the Beis Yosef. Either old enough to know the tzuras. It depends how what the educational system is. I could tell you in Yeshiva Katan of Long Island, when they're 4 years old, it would be the one hagdara where they know the letters. By the time they're 5 years old, they already know how to make words out of the letters. So it would be roughly that. Maybe in Hal it's different. I don't know. Maybe the kids are super geniuses in Hal. I mean, that's been my experience. But I don't know. We'll see. So different. I don't know. There's no. I don't think there's a definitive age. It's like we asked. Rosh Hashanah was in my shul this Shabbos, so they asked him, "How old should kids be when they stop going mixed swimming?" So he said, "As soon as they know the difference between a boy and a girl." I'm like, my daughter's 2. She knows the difference between a boy and a girl. The most Haredi camp in the world will put her in a pool with a boy, you know? That's. I went over there and said, what do you mean by that? He said, oh, no, I mean when, you know, there's a little bit of a taiva or something. Okay, that's a little different than knowing the difference between a boy and a girl. It's like knowing the difference between a boy and a girl. Okay, you have to know how to emphasize. Okay, so there is an agada to Gemara here in Daf Chavtes on Beis. So the Gemara tells us, wild story, really, really wild story. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim to get the Torah, and he's like sitting there waiting. God is like, oh, it's almost done, I'm sorry. It's like, you know, in the back of the store, you know, you go to the tailor, oh, it's almost done, I'm sorry, I forgot all that. He's tying things, he's just tying things on the letters. So he says, Ribono Shel Olam, come on, I ordered this for yesterday, what's going on here? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't say exactly like that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you should know, you don't know what this stuff is that I'm tying on. You think I'm tying on these crazy things that don't make any sense. There's going to be a guy that's going to live one day, Akiva ben Yosef Shemo, and he's going to darshan all of these crowns that I'm putting on top of the letters. This is our introduction to the sugya of crowns. So he says, really? I want to meet that guy. So Hashem says, okay, step through the magic door right behind you. So Moshe Rabbeinu steps through the magic door, and he walks into Rabbi Akiva's classroom. And they sit him in the eighth row, in the end of the eighth row, of Rabbi Akiva's classroom. Now, the way they used to sit people, it was like the Sanhedrin, that the way they would sit people in a classroom was from the greatest chacham to the least. So Moshe Rabbeinu made it to the shvachest guy in Rabbi Akiva's classroom. Right? He was in the back of the eighth row in Rabbi Akiva's classroom. And as sometimes the weakest guy in the classroom and the new guy, lo yodea mahein omrim, he had no idea what they were talking about. So tashash kocha, his strength became weakened. Then they got to a certain Indian in the shir. So the Talmidim said to Rabbi Kiva, where do you know this from? So they said, ah, it's Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, Rabbi Kiva answered. This Yashva Daito, so all of a sudden Moshe Rabbeinu was happy again. He calmed down. So right away there, Eitan Schreier pointed out to me, very interesting diuk. That what happened at first? It says when he didn't know what was going on, Toshash Kocho, his strength started to wane. When he did know what was going on, I would have said, his gaber kari, you know what, his koach came back. What does it say? Nisyashva daito. His das was okay. And he, why, didn't it just undo the tashas kocho? Why different terminology? Why nisyashva daito versus tashas kocho? So I was just thinking tonight, that Tashas Kocho relates to the idea that Chazal tell us that the Torah is Matashas Kocho Shel Adam. The Torah weakens a person. That a person's a Ben Torah. What?
Didn't know what's going on.
No, good. So which part of Torah weakens a person? Memorizing Mishnayos Bal Peh weakens you. That's not what weakens you. Amelus. Amelus weakens you. It's the effort that you put in that weakens you. When he didn't know what was going on, so unlike the way a lot of Bachrim react when they don't know what's going on, well, this rabbi's an idiot, I'm not listening to this, you know. He said, I'm going to work harder, I'm going to try to get it, I'm going to try to chop. So he works harder. Tashash kocho. He lost his strength from his amelus. What happened? He didn't start chapping. He never started chapping. What happened? They came a halacha. They asked Rabbi Kiva, where do you know that? Rabbi Kiva didn't give a lamdus. A lamdus Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't ready to understand. He didn't know the lamdus. It would have been tashash kocho. What did Rabbi Kiva say? Halacha l'moshe misinai. Fact! This is it. There are two types of knowledge. There's das and there's bina. What's the meaning das and bina? What's the chiluk between them? Das is knowledge. Facts. Facts and figures. Memorize mishnayos. Bina, lahavin davar mitoch davar. To analyze, to understand, to make a tzushtel, to compare things, to see what's lying beneath the surface. Nisyashva daito. His das was okay when he saw Allah l'moshe misinai. Facts, yeah, I was full of facts and figures. Like Rosh Baruch Hu gave them all to me. All those facts. That's what Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. There's no Machlokas in Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, according to the Rambam. Shirin, Chatzitzin, all that stuff. It's just, why is the Shir Kebetza? Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, Shir Kebetza. Why is it? Halacha L'Moshe, it just is. There's no questions. Nothing to talk about. So that's Das. So I thought, maybe there's a better Peshav. That's what I thought. So anyway, so Chazar above Nechon Shbarach, Moshe Rabbeinu comes back to Ribbono Shalom. There's going to be a guy like this, and you're giving me the Torah? He's so much better than me. Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, one of the most cryptic, difficult lines in Shas, Shtok kach ala b'machshav alafanai. Shut your mouth, this is what I thought about. No, it's not what you thought about, it's actually what you did. Right, you gave me the Torah. You didn't just think about it. Strange comment. Amar l'fan of Ribbono Shalom. Okay, whatever that meant. Okay, but Ribbono Shalom. Hariseni Taraso, Hareni Scharo. You showed me his Torah. Now I'd like to see his Schar. Because a man like that, you know, I got to see what's waiting for him. So Amar lo, Chazor l'acharecha. Take another step through that magic door. Chazor l'acharev Rosh Hashokim B'sar B'makulin. And he saw them combing off his skin with the iron combs. The horrible death of Rabbi Kiva. Amr al-Fan of Ribbono Shalom says Ribbono Shalom, the most famous kasha, the most difficult theological kasha in the history of humankind. Zu Torah v'zu Schara, Sadik v'Ralo. Someone so great, and that's his Schar. Amr le-Shtok, kachol machshava l'fanai. That's how it was all in machshava. That's what I thought of. What in the world is going on? What kind of comment is that? So, meaning, people say, the question of Sadik v'Ralo has no answer. It does have an answer. The answer is Shtok Hachol Machshav Lefanai. We just have no idea what in the world that answer is. What's going on in this Gemara? So there's a beautiful maimer from Rav Elchanan that I always had a kasha. I remember when I was in Keren B'Yavne, I saw this the first time. It was my first year in Keren B'Yavne, and I had a kasha that always bothered me. Maybe tonight we'll come up with an answer to it. Maybe it wasn't a good kasha. I'm just remembering it from then. Maybe I wasn't so smart. So let's see. The Rav Elchanan is in his Kovitz Ma'amarim. It's a collection of like Musar Drush kind of essays. It used to be one very small thin volume. Then a few years ago, somehow it grew to two thick volumes. I don't know what happened to it. I don't know if Rav Elchanan had Tchias HaMesim and wrote a little more. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but it used to be one very thin volume. So Rav Elchanan in Kovitz Ma'amarim has the following essay. There is a Rambam in Shmona Prakim. Let's see if I can say this quickly. There's a Rambam in Shmona Prakim. Shmona Prakim is the Rambam's commentary to Pirkei Avos. So the Rambam in Shmona Prakim writes that in order to be a Navi, you don't need to be perfect. You need to be good. You need to be smart, Rambam says. You need to have very good midos. But you don't need to be perfect. How do I know that? Perfect in terms of midos. In terms of, obviously, ain't sadik baritza shalo yechta. Everyone does an aveira at some point, except for the five people mentioned at the very end of the first paragraph of Basra, none of whom are like the greatest leaders in our history. Yishai. I mean, his son was great. Yishai was probably great. Apparently he was great and never did an aveira, but like, he's not the one you look at as the, you know, the leader of his family. It was David that became so great. Binyamin. Yosef was the leader, right? Anyone who never sins, that's what the Bali Musa say. If the guy never took a risk in his life, so the chances are he never rose to a point of leadership. If he never had to overcome anything in his life, he never had to rise through, you know, overcome something difficult, a challenge in his life, then he probably never became great. But anyway, hard to say that they weren't great, just not as great as Yosef and whatever. So anyway, so the Rambam says you don't have to be perfect to be a Navi. And he says, I have three rayas. Shlomo Melech was a Navi and he wasn't perfect. He married way too many women. That was a mistake for which he was punished. So obviously he had, not just that he did an Avera. The fact that people do an Avera, of course a Navi could do an Avera. Moshe Rabbeinu also did Averos. No, it means in Midos. Shlomo Melech's Avera was an Avera of Taiva. He wanted more women. So you see that he wasn't perfect in Midos, he still became a Navi. Number two, he says, Shmuel HaNavi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him to go make David the king, I think accidentally in the packets put the pages backwards, page Chaf before page Yotes. But when Shmuel HaNavi was sent to go make Shaul, to make David the king during Shaul's lifetime, Shmuel HaNavi was terrified. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what if Shaul asks me where I'm going? And I say, oh, I'm going to appoint your replacement. He's going to kill me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a haletza, take an animal, bring the animal, he asks you where you're going, you say you're going to slaughter the animal, it won't be a lie, just a little white lie, and he makes it okay. Why was he afraid? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go do something, you go do it. Where was his bitachon? Aveira, no, but a lack of bitachon, a mida. Chose a chesaron in a mida. Third raya, Yaakov. Yaakov was afraid of Esav. This is in... It says on the top, Emunah Bitachon Tshuva, Maimar al Bitachon, in the back of the packets. It's photocopied pages. Looks like this. So, Yaakov Avinu. How do I know Yaakov Avinu wasn't perfect? It says because Yaakov Avinu was terrified of Esav. He was afraid of meeting with Esav. So, where was his Bitachon? He didn't have Bitachon. So, Frek the Chesed Avraham, one of the commentaries on the commentary on the Shemona Prakam of the Rambam, Frek the Chesed Avraham, Yaakov, you have a kasha on Yaakov Avinu, they didn't have bitachon. The Gemara already asked that kasha. It's a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, what happened to Yaakov? How could he be afraid? HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told him everything's going to be okay. The answer is, says the Gemara, he was afraid Shema Yigram Achet, that maybe he did an Avera that undid the previous promise of Hashem that everything would be okay. Hashem made a promise. Yaakov was afraid that he did an Avera and that took away that promise. You need to know the other Sifrei Rambam. The Rambam, the Hakdamah to the Perashah Mishnayos, raises the point that normally when a Navi gets a good Nevuah, it can never get undone, no matter what happens. A bad Nevuah could get undone. Like Ninveh Ne'epachas, the Ninveh is going to be overturned, that can get undone when they do Tshuva. But a good Nevuah can never get undone, no matter what happens. So if there's a Nevuah for the positive, it can't get undone. So the Rambam says, what about Yaakov? The Gemara says, Yaakov is afraid. Shem Yigram Achet. Hashem gave him a good Nevuah, that everything's going to be good. He says, no, that rule about a good Nevuah versus a bad Nevuah is only when it's about Klal Yisrael. When it's about the Navi as an individual, the Rambam writes, this isn't me, this is the Rambam. The Rambam not coming to the Perashah Mishnayos. The Rambam writes, when it's about an individual, so then even a good Nevuah can be overturned. Okay? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov everything's going to be okay. Ask the Gemara, what happened to Yaakov's bitachon, vayiri Yaakov mod vayetzel, Yaakov was so afraid. So answers the Gemara, he was afraid that he didn't have Avera, and therefore the promise wasn't binding anymore. Frek the Chesed Avram, how could the Rambam use Yaakov's fear as a raya that he wasn't perfect in bitachon? The Gemara says Yaakov was afraid because Shem Yigram Achet. Gemara gave a teretz for that. Rambam's making up like he came up with this kasha. No one ever answered it before. Elamai, you don't have to be perfect to be a Navi. Gemara thought of that kasha, and the Gemara answered it. So says the Chesed Avraham, there are tzvei dinim in bitachon. There are two types of bitachon a person has to have. Number one, if Hashem comes to you and says, trust me, I got this one, it's going to be good. You have to have bitachon that he's telling you the truth. Number two, if Hashem never comes to you and tells you anything, like most of us, well, we don't have a mitzvah bitachon, Hashem never told us anything, you still have to have bitachon. You still have to have bitachon that Hashem is going to use his midas harachamim. Aye, but we see sometimes he uses his midas hadin, that's why bitachon is not so easy. If he always uses midas harachamim, it would be easy to have bitachon. That's why it's a challenge. We have to have bitachon, Hashem is going to use his midas harachamim. The Gemara asked, how could Yaakov be afraid? I, Hashem, promised him. Gemara says, that was the kasha about the bitachon with a promise. Why didn't he believe Hashem? Shema Yigram Achet. He thought maybe he did an Avera. That was the Gemara's kasha. The Rambam's kasha isn't, Hashem promised him, how could he lack bitachon? No. The Rambam's kasha is, I get it. I understand why he doesn't think the promise is binding anymore. So you know what that turns Yaakov into if the promise isn't binding? A regular Jew like the rest of us. Who has to have bitachon? Who never gets a promise? We don't get any promises. Someone gets sick, God doesn't come to us and say, don't worry, so it's all going to be okay. We still have to have bitachon. Where was Yaakov's bitachon on that? That's what the Rambam says. It wasn't. He was lacking in bitachon. And he still became a Navi. You see that you don't have to be perfect to be a Navi. So says the Chesed Avram. Says the same thing with Shmuel. The Gemara asks on Shmuel. The Gemara says, how could Shmuel be afraid? Hashem told him. It's going to be okay. Go. Gemara says, Heichad Shchiach Hezeka Shaini. When it's a very dangerous mission, the promises of Hashem, that because it's Shulchan Mitzvah Nizakin, that, you know, Hashem says to do it, so you're going to do a mitzvah, you're not going to get damaged, you're not going to get hurt, and where there's Gemara Pesachim, Tesam Beis, that you're not going to get hurt, Chesam Beis, that you're not going to get hurt, so that doesn't apply. That doesn't apply when it's a very dangerous situation. So what's the Rambam asking? Shmuel didn't have bitachon. The Gemara says, he had bitachon, it's just that it was Shchiach Hazeko, it's a dangerous situation. Says Chesed Avram, same answer. The bitachon in Shluchim Mitzvah and Nizakin he didn't have because it was very dangerous. But what about the bitachon that every Jew has to have? That no matter what the situation you're in life, Hashem's going to use me to serachim. Where was that bitachon? That's what the Rambam was talking about. Good? That's the Chesed Avram's answer. Says Rav Elchanan, had the Chesed Avram, lule divrei Rambam, had the Rambam not said what he said, the Rav Elchanan asked me, had the Rambam not given his answer, so basically what happened over here, just to have it clear, there are two kashas. Why didn't Yaakov have bitachon Hashem's promise? Why didn't Yaakov have general bitachon that all of us have to have? The kasha, why didn't he have bitachon Hashem's promise, it's an open Gemara. Brachas Tav Dalet, he was afraid he didn't have Avera. The question, why didn't he have general bitachon? The Rambam says, because you don't have to be perfect to be a Navi, there's no answer to it, he just wasn't perfect. Says Rav Chanan, I have a different answer to why he didn't have general bitachon. There's a Gemara Menachos Chav Tesam and Beis, where Moshe Rabbeinu goes up and he sees Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva is getting killed and he says, Zu Torah Zu Schar, and Hashem says, Shto Kachal Machshav Lefanai, Zok the Shloh HaKadosh. What does it mean? Shto Kachal Machshav Lefanai. That the Medrash tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he wanted to create the world with only Midas Hadin. Just strict justice. You do an Avera, zap, you're gone. You do mitzvahs, you know, right away, raised up on a pedestal, and you do Averas, you're gone. One strike and you're out. Midas Adin. God gave you the right to breathe, and you decided that you're going to talk Lashon Hara, you don't have the right to breathe anymore. That's it, you're done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that, you know, it was going to be kind of lonely in this world if he ran the world that way. So he decided to be mitzarif midas harachim with midas hadin. Says the Shal, why did he want to do midas hadin? What's the maila of doing midas hadin? So the maila is, if you have the ability to earn your way to Olam Haba, like for real, without any favors being done along the way, you mamish work for it, it's so much sweeter than when you had so many favors done for you along the way. If you have two guys that start in a company, one whose dad owns the company, so he's just promoted, you know, every year, that doesn't do anything, and the other guy who works and works and works and does it all on his own, no favors along the way, who do you think is the better CEO by the time they get there? It's obviously the guy who didn't have any favors done for him. So says the Shlach Kadosh, it's nama de kisufa, it's embarrassing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to keep on stooping us midas harachamim in order to get us through. That's embarrassing. He didn't want to have to do that. He wanted to run the world midas hadin, let us earn it. But he saw the world wouldn't exist. It's not going to survive. No one could survive it. Says the Shlach Kodesh Moshe Rabbeinu sees Rabbi Akiva. He says, why is his skin getting combed off? Why is he suffering so terribly? Kodesh Baruch says, Shtok, kach ola b'machshava lefana. That was plan A in creating the world. The only reason there's no midas harachim, there is midas harachim in this world, is because mankind can't handle midas hadin. Every once in a while, there's a tzaddik who can handle midas hadin, and you just saw him. Rabbi Akiva is such a tzaddik. Kach olam machshav lefana, he handles midas hadin. He can get it. He gets midas hadin. Says Rav Elchanan, The Rambam's kasha. Why didn't Yaakov Avinu have bitachon? Okay, the kasha of the Gemara, why didn't he have bitachon? Hashem's promise, Hashem yigrom achet. We know why he didn't have. Why didn't he have simple bitachon, regular bitachon? Every Jew has to have bitachon. Says Rav Elchanan, what does it mean to have bitachon? We're supposed to be idiots. If someone's sick, we're not supposed to think they're sick. What does it mean to have bitachon? Bitachon, the long form of saying to have bitachon means to have bitachon that Hashem will use his midas harachamim. That's what it means. Have bitachon that Hashem is going to use his midas harachamim. Says the Rambam, Rabbi Akiva couldn't have such bitachon because he didn't get midas harachamim. He was too great. He outgrew midas harachamim. He was a midas hadin Jew. You don't think Yaakov Avinu was a midas hadin Jew? Why didn't Yaakov have regular bitachon? He didn't have a mitzvah of regular bitachon. He was a midas hadin person. So says Rav Elchanan, I don't get why the Rambam thinks you don't have to be perfect to be a Navi. He thinks Yaakov didn't have bitachon. Oh, it's a riot, he wasn't perfect. No, he didn't have bitachon because he was at least as great as Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, there's no reason to have bitachon to midas harachamim. So the kasha I thought of when I was in Keren B'Yavne, I remember asking a friend of mine on the bus, going somewhere, some tiyul, if you put the Gemara and the Shlah together, the Rambam makes a lot of sense. That's what Rav Elchanan is saying. Why didn't Yaakov have bitachon and Hashem promised him everything was going to be okay? Because he was afraid. Shema yirgam achet. What do those words mean? It's because of averos that he did. He was afraid he did averos. The kasha, why didn't he have bitachon like a regular guy? Oh, Rav Elchanan says, no, he knew he shouldn't have that kind of bitachon because he's Superman. He's Rabbi Akiva. He's Midas Hadin Jew. Well, which is it? Do you think that you did averos? If you did averos, then you should have bitachon to Midas Harachamim. Because if you're a guy who's Yigrom Achet, then you're not Rabbi Akiva. Then you're not the guy who's going to have, who needs to have the, who only gets Midas Hadin. You're a guy who should have bitachon to Midas Harachamim. If you're not afraid Shem Yigrom Achet, if you think you're a Midas Hadin kind of guy, well then you should have believed Hashem's promise. You don't have any Shem Yigrom Achet. Menorah Shach, they don't work together. If you're afraid Shem Yigrom Achet, then there's no Midas Rachamim. Then there's a Midas Rachamim. It's not just Midas Hadin.
We can't ask the same question Rabbi Akiva. Why is he getting punished if he was so...
That's the one Avera. Meaning at the end. Yaakov didn't have that yet. He wasn't struck by lightning.
Why is there...
Okay, what I think you're both driving at, but let me just say it a little different. And what I thought the answer might be was a chiluk I hinted to subtly before, which is there's a difference between doing an avera and not being mushlim b'midos. The Rambam is not bringing a raya that you can have nevuah even if you did an avera. That's pashut. Everyone does averas in Sadeh Bar Shlo Yechta. The Rambam is bringing a raya that you could have a midos problem. Certainly midos. Yaakov wasn't afraid, according to the Gemara, Shema Yigrom midos of Haraos, that he had taiva, that he had kina, that he had any of those midos. Yaakov was afraid that he did some sort of avera, like any human being does. That doesn't change the fact that he was a mushlim b'midos. Anyone who's a mushlim b'midos still should have bitachon. Anyone who's a complete mushlim b'midos no longer needs bitachon in the Midas Harachim. So I think that chiluk between Midos versus Averos might be the way to answer that. Okay, there's more to say in this Agarata, but we got to daven.